All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show, and I got Dead Penetration here.
What's up?
And before we even start, let's talk about our sponsor, Revy Innovations and the Spinning Robot Pussy. That's spinningrobotpussy.com. You can go ahead and get one of those, or the Follow Me Eyes if you're interested in that. He's also selling doll shoes.
You can go back and to our interview where I reviewed it.
Well, and make sure also to, if you do get something, you know, go to spinningrobotpussy.com/TFM and make sure that you heard it here from us, you know, because there's a section that's either TFM or the Grim Lord. So if you go to Grim Lord, he'll know that I brought you here. So basically, go ahead and support him. Really cool guy. He's been doing a lot of very useful interviews that I hope you guys will get something out of and be able to basically go back to. They're clear enough that you can usually listen to them as like an MP3, and basically go back and listen to that information. Be like, okay, so this is how I do this. This is how I do that. We don't usually do informal shows or informational shows like that, but that's what we're doing because that was something he wanted to do.
And if you lack them, we'll try
to do more. It's a little hard to find, you know, experts and everything, but dude, this knows a lot of stuff, and I'm glad that he took the time to come and, you know, basically talk to us about all these things, which are very, very useful, especially for guys going their own way. So go ahead and check all that out. Also, Phil at the-doll-house.com. Go ahead and get your waifu today. You know, check that out. Great, great, great dude. Has payment plans. I've actually been on social media talking to a lot of guys interested in dolls. So I've been giving them the information about the weight and all that kind of stuff. It's very important. A lot of guys don't realize how heavy they are. They're doing the research. And then there's a guy on social media that has one. He's kind of doing a creepy thing, but he is getting guys interested. And sucks that I'm banned from a certain social media platform because I was talking to them and really getting some good information and teaching them. Of course, I've been fighting women as well because women, not all of them, but a lot of women see them as a threat, and I see that directly. There's a lot of jealous, upset women over a stupid doll. It's really ridiculous.
Well, it's because if guys are getting their needs satisfied, they're not paying for their OnlyFans
and
or,
stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, stuff like that. And they don't like it. I mean, one tried to say it was necrophilia. I said, no, it's not even close.
What's a dildo? Is it decapitation?
You know, I said, and not to make this a big rant, but I said, you know, women have drawers full of dildos and vibrators.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, they can have that, but we can't have one sex doll. And I'm not even talking about a doll that's present. There are a lot of people that just use them for sex. They literally just have them in hooks on the closet. You don't even see them, just like with the vibrator. She doesn't have them usually out.
Oh, yeah.
So they basically open up their closet, they pull out the doll, they put the head on, because, you know, everything attaches like that. And they set it up, they do their thing, they clean the doll, they put it up, just like with the vibrator, everything else.
Well, if you believe all women, they say men are more dangerous when their sexual needs aren't met.
Right.
And me, full balls versus empty balls, I'm a completely different person. You know, empty balls, I pay my taxes.
I don't believe all women anyway, but, you know. But anyway, let's go ahead and get started, shall we? Enough yammering. First of all, first and foremost, because we are Grimm's Comic Corner as well, we've got to talk about this. No, I haven't supported it yet, but I'm going to. And we are going to do it on the show. I'm going to ask Eric July if he wouldn't mind basically me doing a little bit of his comic book. Apparently, since it's already finished, and I just want a digital copy. I'd love to have a physical, but a digital is fine, because you guys know I'll read it and, give you guys basically a sample. So if you want to support a $2.5 million fundraised comic, go for it.
Yeah.
Eric July gets 30,000 orders worth of $2.5 million for non-woke comic. This is from Bleeding Cool, and this is by Rich Johnson. Rich Johnson is a very woke fucking dude. He's big social justice dude. The only reason I'm reading this is because he's fucking salty about this. Eric D. July is a libertarian contributor to conservative network Blaze TV, founded by Glenn Beck. And when he had a comic book to crowdfund, they were happy to highlight this to their readers and viewers, and the label is non-woke. Woke is being defined... Now, listen to their bullshit. It's defined as being aware of injustice in society, especially but not limited to racism, which doesn't seem anything that most people would be opposed to, especially superhero comics, which would seem all about fighting injustice, but I guess welcome to the internet. So this guy doesn't even understand what woke is. No. It's softcore Marxism.
Yeah.
And look at the art. Now, this is all... This is a black comic. These are black characters. So, you know, I mean, it's black and it's non-woke. Oh my God, can the both things exist? Yes, they can! You can have black characters in a black story and it not be woke. Take the Boondocks, for example.
I love Boondocks.
Boondocks is great!
It makes me... reminds me of our hometown.
Right. The comic book Isom number 1 is to be written by July, drawn by Cliff Richards, colored by Gabe Eltabe, and lettered by Eric Weathers, and is intended to launch a new multi-book comics universe, the Ripaverse. And why not? Isom is described as telling the story of a superhero who has come out of retirement. Avery's sister Altona gives him a call and wants him to visit an old friend by the name of Darren Fontano. Another family friend that was interning with Altona has gone missing, and she last heard that she was dealing with Darren. But Darren has much changed since he was hanging out with Avery when they were young. He's a cold-blooded shot caller and one of the most feared men in the city. This visit turns into one of the longest days in Avery's life. Around these parts, people call special beings excepts. And unfortunately for Avery, he has the luxury of running into some of them. The Alpha Corps and Yaira have their own set of conflicts. A man built like a tank by the name of Santuan reappears, and he's had previous confrontation with Avery, which sounds a bit like tackling injustice in society to me. Either way, the non-woke label saw the story picked up by Fox News and the New York Post, which have helped spread the cry further, and the revenue already in six figures soon went into seven figures. Almost 30,000 pre-orders worth over $2.5 million. That is a remarkable achievement for a new comic book property right off the bat, no matter who promoted it. Though the price for a 96-page comic of $35, that's a 95... Dude, that's a 96-page issue one. You know what a 96-page issue one is? That's a volume.
Yeah.
That's not... Novel. The regular comic books are like, what? 20 pages.
30 pages.
So we're getting... Yeah.
So it's about, about three regular comics. So probably three issues.
Plus, $10 shipping might seem a bit on the high side if it wasn't for the virtue signaling possibilities. Again, this is a woke writer. If Eric D. July wants to create a long-running collectible comic book universe for the Ripperverse, he might want to try and bring some economics of scale into play or risk bankrupting his followers. Oh, that's bullshit.
And he's charging what?
$35 plus $10 shipping. You're probably getting a good product, though. Because a lot of the comics that I've got there, they were pretty expensive. Yeah. But they're good quality comics. Even with today's comic book inflation, 96-page superhero comic usually sells for $10 to $12 for a comic shop. That's bullfucking shit. Those things sell pretty damn high, the volumes we're talking about.
It depends, but those volumes have several issues.
Because Eric is indeed thinking long-term and has a code of ethics for his publishing plans, which can be summed up as no multiverses, no time travel, and an official continuity timeline. I am not entirely sure these count as ethics, but with multiversal storylines sprawling across different media recently, this might be a real measurable point of difference for the Ripperverse rather than the more ephemeral non-woke. Though less likely to get Fox News headlines. Oh, and keeping reboots to a minimum, though, that is not exactly Plato either. In the past, this kind of acclamation from a publisher yet to publish their first comic book has been seen as putting the cart before the horse, but it does acknowledge his ambition. Eric D. July also told Blaze that I'm not in the business of lecturing people and telling people how to live their lives, but there are universal truths that I will acknowledge, and I think that's what's sort of missing, because people have unfortunately definitely, in comic books these days, put other stuff at the forefront, and telling a good story is secondary. I agree with that. That's what they've done. It's been all about their politics and not about the story.
Yep.
Acknowledging those universal truths are secondary if they're even acknowledged at all. This does seem to be in conflict. What is important, telling a good story or acknowledging universal truths? And if truths are universal, then they need to be acknowledged. Aren't they by their nature already acknowledged? And if someone thinks those truths aren't universal and doesn't believe in that, isn't calling something a universal truth putting it in the forefront of a story lecturing? Questions I'd love to ask. Yeah, but you won't get to. The place also refers to July, saying that Ripperverse Comics will also be a place for comic creators, artists, writers, and anyone else in the comic book industry who feels alienated by big corporations can come and tell their stories without fear of censorship or judgment. I support that 100,000 million billion percent. There are a lot of creative people that are in our space, on our side of the line of thinking, in support of the value of liberty, no matter whether you're conservative, libertarian, or whatever, and they're just undiscovered. They're in hiding because they have to work for the old guard, he said. I did get a flavor of, to paraphrase the Blues Brothers, we have both kinds of politics here, conservative and libertarian. But there are many places outside the corporate controls who publish comic books, since many self-publishers who choose to do it themselves have done for decades. Just not everyone has been able to frame it in such a way to get coverage for their media employer, as well as Fox and the New York Post. He hates those because they're both conservative outlets, or non-liberal outlets. There is also another question asked, and stumbling across this accidentally last week caused all manner of ructions. Running a crowdfunder on Kickstarter or Indiegogo gives some measure of a surety of the pre-orders listed, but running a crowdfunder on your website does not. There is no independent voice to state that you got the orders you say you do. So if you make a headline of it, how can that be verified? As it stands, the Ripperverse crowdfunder does not have verification. There is no independent source to confirm the order numbers, but it has been reported repeatedly without that caveat. Oh, he's just crying because, oh, they can't say that they have that many books. They have that many books, you asshole. A certainly believable figure, though, especially given the media profile ISOM has received. And still with many months of fundraising left, and Grimm's getting one. Is Eight Figures next? Yes. Fuck off, woke bastard.
Well, I ain't the kid for much. But, I mean, I do believe they have the right to say what they want. They just can't force it on anyone else.
Right. Let's see. Comments. I'm just going to briefly see if there's anything. There's only 27 here, but I'm not going to read them all, of course. We got other things to get to. But that's one.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're trying to do what? What the fuck? And then, meanwhile, they're advertising Fanta and bullshit like that. I don't know. Fuck them. They're advertising Fanta on there. Oh, people, look at this new drink.
Fanta?
Fair play to him. Yeah.
Fanta. Used to have women in skin-tight clothes dancing for Fanta. I bet they have a problem with that now.
Let's see. Some newer blood on the other side who get mainstream. The other side. We're the other side. We're the evil, we're the villains now. Why do you think my character's a villain? Because we have to be. There's no fucking heroes in this age. Okay, so here's an interesting thing. Warner Brothers report says Zack Snyder's Justice League support fueled by bots. When Zack Snyder's Justice League, the massive four-hour director's cut of Zack Snyder's version of this 2017 film Justice League was released on HBO Max, don't give me that pop-up, in 2021, it seemed like a huge victory for online fan campaigns, and it was an amazing film. I have a copy. After all, yep. Snyder fans have been calling for the release of this cut almost from the release of Justice League, a film that infamously had been finished with some major changes by Joss Whedon after Snyder stepped away from the project. And over time, the release of the Snyder Cut hashtag started going viral, not just once, but numerous times, as did various other calls to action connected to the campaign. Now, however, a report from Warner Brothers says the massive online support for the Snyder Cut movement was fueled in part, at least by bots and inauthentic accounts. According to the report by via Rolling Stone, at least 13% of the accounts that were part of the Snyder Cut conversation online were fake. By contrast, the average number of fake accounts that are usually found in any trending topic comes in at around 3-5%, and Twitter's own public findings estimates the daily active accounts on that site that are false or spam is less than 5%. What that means is that while there are a large number of genuine Snyder fans, those fans are amplified by a large and disproportionate number of fake accounts or bots. While the idea that fake accounts and bots could amplify social media campaign leading itself is a bit troubling, so are the findings of the report that social media movement also spawned negative activity from both real and fake accounts, including threats against executives and others. So basically, they are, after researching online conversations about the Snyder Cut of the Justice League's release, specifically the hashtags of Release the Snyder Cut, Restore the Snyderverse on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, the analysts, of course they did, detecting an increase in negative activity caused by both real and fake authors, the report concluded. One identified community was made up of real and fake authors that spread negative content about Warner Media for not spreading restoring the Snyderverse. Additionally, three main leaders were identified with the within the authors scanned on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, one leader on each platform. These leaders receive the highest amount of engagement and have many followers, which gives them the ability to influence public opinion. The report also noted that some of them were spreading harmful content about Ian Sarnoff, with the majority of authors calling her a liar for the claim that there is no Snyder Cut of the movie and called her from Warner Media to fire her. These authors also started using the hashtag Boycott Warner Brothers. Currently, the Snyder Cut campaign continues, just with a different aim. The movement now uses Restore the Snyderverse hashtag as part of an effort to pressure Warner Brothers to continue the plan Snyder originally had for the DCEU. As for Snyder, he's now making films with Netflix, including Army of the Dead. So there you go with that.
I'm wondering what they're going to do about The Flash, since he went batshit crazy and they can't find him.
Okay.
Nerdy was trying to groom with kids and shit.
Apparently, Clownfish TV has its own website. And it's Anime Matsuri creates a new dubbing studio with Vic Mignotta. Oh, wow. Hey, if you guys like dubs as much as me and DP,
oh, yeah,
you're going to love that. We won't get no more woke dubs anymore. Yay! Because you know for sure that anything by Vic, they're not going to fucking censor the dubs. They're going to give us the actual content now.
Oh, yeah. I want to see that.
That's great. Anime Matsuri held a special live stream on their YouTube channel on Sunday night to announce they created their own dubbing studio. The new dubbing studio started in 2021, and they've already started recording Denise and John Lay from Anime Denis. They've already started recording. There was a period there. Denise and John Lay from Anime Matsuri traveled to Japan to meet up with Nippon Animation for a collaboration. Nippon Animation gave Anime Matsuri two anime movies that have never been dubbed in America before. The two anime movies are Genban Ojo and Zip Shimezu. They are described as animes for all ages to enjoy.
Oh.
Being an ADR director himself, Vic Mignotta was asked by Anime Matsuri to become part of the new studio. Over the recent years, Vic has been asked countless times when he will return to voice acting in anime. Along with news of Vic joining the new dubbing studio, Vic, who is also a special guest on the live stream, announced he will be voicing in two anime movies and is listed as being the ADR director for both animes. The two dubs will be premiering live at the 16th annual Anime Matsuri 2022 convention on Friday, July 29th at 8 p.m. A second showing will be on Saturday in the theater area at the convention. After the premiere, there will be a question and answer session with the voice actors. Nippon Animation will also be attending the premiere. Vic's reaction to being asked to become part of the new dubbing studio was described as he just dropped to the floor. When asked what it felt like to be back in studio voice recording, he answered, "I came in down there to work on Genban Ojo and Jacob First, and he was behind the console. And I went into the booth and put the headphones on, and it was probably the first time I'd done that in, 2 years. And I teared up a little bit, I have to say." Denise and Jacob, the other guests on the live stream from Japan, agreed with how emotional the moment was. "Being a part of this industry has been such a great joy in my life for the last 20 years that I've been in the anime industry, and I love it so much. I love working on it, so it was a real humbling opportunity to get back into it." Jacob stressed that this was not a one-off event. "They're working hard to acquire licenses and all things required in running an anime dubbing studio. This is just the beginning. Having fans to support their work also makes a tremendous difference." Now, what we can hope for is that they get the animes that Funimation and Crunchyroll or Sony won't pick. Dude, wouldn't it be nice if we got... No, they got Redo dubbed, I think.
Do they?
No. Redo didn't get dubbed.
No.
Yeah. Redo didn't get dubbed. Ishoku Reviewers only got three episodes.
Yeah.
And there's so many other ones.
Oh, there's
so many. Oh, my God. They could go back and do that one that's like got five seasons
about
the little robot girls or something. I forgot. So many great ones that they could do. So, like, maybe they're not going to be the newest stuff, but they're not going to be woke. And they're not going to be stuff that you'd ever see dubbed. Like, stuff that other companies are like, "No, we can't do this because of our politics." This studio would be like, "No,
yeah,
we want to give you this."
And you know what I'm going to do? Support it with my dollar. If I see this at the store, I'm going to buy it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know it's going to be something for sure that is not going to be woke. It's going to be true. And it's going to have good voice actors with people I respect that love this content. They're not doing it. I mean, I'm not saying they're not doing it for a paycheck. But, you know, it's more than just that. They want to make sure that this content is something that people can enjoy. You know, it's not, oh, it's all my woke stuff. Like, there's so many little woke lines that I notice. And even then, like, I remember one Attack on Titan I was watching. The character said yes. The character said no. And the dub said yes. Or the subtitle said yes. And I'm like, oh my god. So they literally dubbed it wrong to where the character said the opposite of what he said in the subtitles.
Yeah.
And I was like, why would you give them the opposite? Like, it was literally...
a whole nother script.
Yeah. It's like, you're just writing your own shit now. It was noted during the stream that technological advances in today's world enables them to have people do voice acting from around the world. For example, one voice actor in Ship Shimezu voiced their role from the Netherlands. In fact, the majority of this movie was recorded remotely. To see the full video announcement, watch the video here. The talk with Vic and Jacob starts around 9:09. And if you think that Grimm has a shot, let me know. Maybe I should try it. I mean, I do all these voices for all these animes, and I did a really good thing. I haven't released it yet, but I did some more Eve Nicol. And I tried my hand at the different voices of the characters. I don't know how good they are, but I'm really good at my pronunciations and my reading and all that kind of thing. So I think I could. I think I stand a chance. I think I do. I do have my acid issues and stuff, but a little bit of honey and stuff like that, I think I can do it. I think I can stand toe-to-toe with some of these other guys. I'm not as good as Vic, and I won't even say I'm as good as Vic. Vic is amazing. But I can definitely hold my own when it comes to some of these. D-Rez is... So what do you think about the new dubbing studio and Vic Mignogna's return to voice acting? Let us know. I'm glad to see it. It's amazing. This is what we need. So we're going to do one more article in this. You know, it's only four articles, but these are newer ones, and I wanted to cover that. I've been posting this all over the place today, and we're going to talk about it. New York Post. I bought my husband a sex doll that looks just like me. Now we have threesomes. There were three in the bed, and this couple never looked back. A wife struggling with her husband's high libido has bought a look-alike sex doll in order to take the pressure off of it if she's not in the mood. Char Gray, 23, splashed out $1,800, that's just $100 more than Zexy, on the racy replica for her sexed-up spouse Callum, 28. Who discovered that she has also developed feelings for the dirty doll named D. Oh, well, that happens with women. You know how many women ask me for nudes of my doll? My God, and they did it discreetly. They never told anybody about it, but they asked. D is not just a doll, Carr told Southwest News Service. We really attached her. She's helped strengthen our relationship and set our sex lives on fire. Well, I'm glad it works for them. With Caleb constantly in the mood for sex, Char says she was struggling to keep up. The horny husband had also proposed the idea of a threesome, but Char was reluctant to bring another woman into the bedroom. So here's another use for dolls, folks. Instead, Char thought it made sense to buy a doll to participate in pretend threesomes and for Callum to use as a plaything when she wasn't feeling up for sex. And of course, they're very attached to her.
Oh, yeah.
It says, Three's Company. Char thought it made sense to buy a doll to participate in pretend threesomes and for Callum to use as a plaything when she wasn't feeling up for sex. There were so many to choose from, but we eventually found Dee, who we think looks like me, she enthused, revealing that she bought the doll in June 2021. Now, to be fair, Char has much larger breasts than his wife here, but they're not bad-looking girls at all. I don't have any issue with it. I don't have any issue with couples that have dolls. I don't care. I think, you know, it's 2022. Dolls are much more affordable. Much more people can buy them easier. It's not like it used to be. If people want to buy dolls to spice up their relationship or just to have around because they enjoy it. Some people just want to have big dolls to dress up. I don't care. You can use these things for anything. You can use them for models.
You can put a model opener down there and open your beers.
There's stuff for game lady that I just want to buy to have on display. Like, where they make actual full replicas of video game characters, and they're spot on. Every detail.
Cool.
Oh, man, I'd love to. I said, if I had money to throw around, I'd buy these things and put them in display cases. I mean, that would be great.
There's a couple more things I would get first. Like,
well, I know. If I had a nice, you know, place where I could display them.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
I want a zero-gravity massage chair. But then, maybe, something to display.
With Char Enthused revealing she bought the doll in June of 2021. In the 13 months since, the silicone sex toys helped take the couple's carnal activities to new heights. It was the best decision, and it's definitely improved our sex life, she stated. It's great because Callum is a high sex drive, and not in the mood, he's got D there. She added, we both love experimenting with her, and she regularly joins our steamy sessions, too. I don't really have an issue with this at all. Like, I can't complain.
It'd be funny if she had consciousness and she's, please, kill me.
Outside of the bedroom, D has also become an important part of the couple's relationship. Char and Callum dress the doll up in white lingerie and take her out on car rides. Wow. She also sits beside them when they watch their favorite TV show, The In-Betweeners, together. Well, I mean...
The In-Betweeners and the sex doll sitting in between them.
The pair proclaim that they don't care what anyone thinks, as bringing D into their life has worked for them. That's very nice.
Yeah.
And they are OnlyFans stars. They have brought D on camera for cameos, and many of their 2,000 subscribers have similarly become enamored with the inanimate object.
Huh.
The inanimate object, rather. Meanwhile, Carr and Caleb are OnlyFans stars who make upwards of $80,000 a month.
Shit.
The pair have also brought D on camera for cameos, and many of their 2,000 subscribers have become enamored with the inanimate object. I read that, but I'm reading it in the article now. However, D doesn't always join the couple for their sex sessions and occasionally plays in a studio while they enjoy alone time. We never put her away in a cupboard, Cheryl declared. She has a positive impact on us as a couple. If anything, she's brought us closer together. Okay, full fucking disclosure. This is the only kind of woman I would actually have. Like, you have to be okay with my doll. And believe it or not, there are more women than you think. Some women are absolutely no. But some women are like, oh my god, she's cute. Yeah. And I've literally had women that are like, oh my god, she's so pretty. Like, they want to get, the, like, it's a thing. It's a thing because they look really human-like. And some women are like, oh wow. And maybe it has to do with the fact that women played with dolls when they were young girls.
Maybe.
So maybe it ties into something that, you know, older, they're like, oh my god. It's a life-size kind of Barbie.
I understand why the women that don't want them
around,
but they don't want anything to compete with.
Yeah, but obviously there's not that there, and it's a mutual kind of thing. And she knows that he's not going to prefer the doll to her. They have a bond and a relationship like that.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what would happen if there was a child involved in that. Obviously, it would be a much different situation. But I don't even know if these two are going to have kids. I mean, there may be a situation where she can't. Sometimes there's issues like that.
Or maybe they do, and it's just not in the article.
Maybe it's not in the article.
For obvious reasons.
They're
talking about sex dolls.
Right. Absolutely. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't have a problem. Phil already talked about that the majority of his sales are coming from couples. That's great.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't have a problem with this.
I think.
Because I didn't want dolls to... I mean, I understand guys and dolls, and I understand. I mean, that's great. But if you have a woman that is okay, cool with your doll, and can understand that, and actually kind of likes your doll... See, I always figured that if I ever had, like, a wife or girlfriend, something like that... She would probably actually want to start dressing the... You have no idea the messages I've got. There were women that were giving me fucking makeup tips. Just like, hey, if you put this on here, try this and try that and put this on. Like, they were literally trying to help me beautify her because they were just enamored. They're like, oh, wow, this is great. You wouldn't believe how many women when I first brought out... Now, I had some haters. But you wouldn't believe how many women were just really supportive. They were like, wow, yeah, this is good. She's really cute. You know, they didn't have a problem with it. They knew it wasn't some kind of underage looking doll. They knew that I picked a doll that, I mean, I picked my doll. I was like, oh, wow, she's gorgeous. You picked a great one.
I think if a woman's got a vibrator, man should be able to,
and if they can both enjoy it, because, you know, you can put a vibrator up your ass, but I don't want you to, like, that's disgusting. But with a doll, if you guys can both enjoy the doll, and I mean even outside of sex, which is the thing for me, go for it. It's great. I mean, it's probably, it's a good thing. I don't have an issue with this at all.
I think some women that don't allow that are using sex as a weapon in the relationship anyway.
Well, we've actually got some chats. We're going to go ahead and address the chats and everything, and then this is a short show because we've got, spoiler alert, House Party 1.0 came out. 1.0. I actually talked to a guy today. He said that when he was a young teenager, he remembered playing an early version of this game. So this game's been around in development for a long time, guys.
What year did it come
I out? Don't know. But he said it's when he was a young teenager, and he's not young now. So it's been in development for a very long time. And he said it was very limited at that time. There wasn't a whole lot you could do. And I said, well, the 1.0 is available. It was on Zoom first. Zoom platform had it first. Now GOG has it.
What version did you have that we were playing?
0.22.
So it's
going Yeah, there's
going to
be a whole different game. Yeah.
Yeah, because we couldn't hardly do nothing in it.
Yeah. But now we can play as the girl. And the girl has all her voice lines and everything else. And we're going to play as a woman this time. Like, we played as a guy. We're going to play as a woman. We're going to see if there's going to be anything different. And we're really excited. Because, you know, it's always cool when you get a game that's been in development for a long time and they're finally finished and you can play the full game.
It's got a lot of depth.
Yeah, and it also has the game grumps, minus JonTron, because he doesn't want white people to go extinct. Can you blame him? Like, I mean, wow, that's what they got him for. And he also didn't like the Fauci ouchie. So, you know, I mean, guy seems pretty base to me, right? At any rate, let's go ahead and look at our chats. Do you see why I not count Kason? I'm not exactly sure what this is referring to here. What do you mean by that, as far as English VTubers go? Oh yeah, Kason is a mess. He says, I'm at the point where literally anyone who joins VShoujo, you go against the wall. You're done. But Drexel said K-John. Really? I didn't know that. Drexel, Kason joining VShoujo is a good thing. Yeah, about that look, how quick it took this pathetic life form to start shaking her ass like she's Melody. Pathetic. I expect Melody to do this shit because that's her entire VTuber thing. Cookie T says, I guess they are creative when it comes to makeup. And Cookie T asks, what do you think about this one? Do you think a makeup kit is the Lego toys for women?
Yeah.
Do you think, well, you know, I don't know many women that played with Legos. But I definitely had Legos as a kid. I loved Legos.
You know, I've been getting different parts and attachments for my AR.
Dude,
and that's what they're like, AR, grown men's Legos.
But you know what? I still like Legos. You know, I had Legos till I was 16. I just couldn't get rid of them. I was just like, man, I can't throw these away because they're so cool.
You
can build.
Now
you
think of how much a set of Legos cost. They have now like pick. Pointillism pictures you can make do with Legos.
Really?
And they're like 100-something plus.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about those hardcore art ones we saw.
Yeah, they have those.
Yeah, these Legos are ridiculous expensive,
some of
folks.
The Star Wars stuff, you can get like the Bobo Fett helmet.
Yeah, you
one.
Can get the...
That's in the hundreds.
Yeah, those are...
Some
these
of
are
them
expensive.
Get it, I think I've seen even in the $200 to $300
yes.
range.
Yes. Because they have full-on, like, artworks now that you can do, and those are
high. Oh, yeah.
It's something that makes you think creatively. I agree. It definitely is.
Yep.
Let's see. Cookie was typing. I'm watching. I'm in here. I'm in the Grim Show chats right now. Let me see. Was there something in my... Oh, okay. He was just asking about that. Okay, well, is there anything else? Nope. They have Legos for adults now, like Technics. Yeah, I know, but we were talking about actual, like... I mean, these are... If you're doing, like, a pointillism or an artwork, that's probably... I mean,
oh,
it can be for kids, but it's normally geared, especially considering the price, adult collectors.
Oh, yeah. They, I mean...
Yeah.
A lot of... They have full sets geared strictly towards adults, because...
Yeah. These, I've looked at these things and my mouth dropped open because I'm like, oh my god, look how much they want for them.
I think for these, I'm halfway to a PS5.
Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty expensive. Okay. Anyway, guys, we're going to go ahead and end this one for now. We're going to roll into House Party, and we thank you for joining us on this short show, but we wanted to get some articles out. You know, there was some big news, and we'll see you guys next time on the Grim Articles Show when we go back to the stuff that we need to catch up on. And for now, this is the Grim Lord and Dead Penetration, and we are out of here.
Later.
Let's see. What's my new catchphrase? Oh, yeah. Let the doomers doom and the coomers coom. Enjoy the decline.
Go suck it.
No, that's not my catchphrase.
I'm just trying a couple of phrases. We'll see which one sticks.
That's what we're doing. Let the doomers doom and the coomers coom. Enjoy the decline, folks.